We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to our number two, Focus. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for the program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, Henry Frain is at the controls this morning. In this part of Focus 580, we will be spending some time talking about the future of Illinois public media. I'm sure that many of our listeners know that last week we announced some very significant changes to some of our programming and our staffing on this station. And we have had a lot of comments and questions coming in. We've had emails, we've had phone calls. We're trying to address this that way through our website, and we thought we would want to take some time here actually on the air to give people the opportunity to call in and ask questions, and we will do our best to try to talk to you about where we are now, where we think we're headed, why we had to make the decisions that we have. Here in the studio with me, we have some of our management team. Mark Leonard is here. He's our general manager for Illinois Public Media. Kate Dobrovolny is the station manager for WILO Radio and TV. Jay Pierce is now director of created content for Illinois Public Media, and we'll take as many people as we can. We'll also try to take emails. I think there are a lot of people who want to call in and share their thoughts and their feelings, and the one thing people can do to help us is try, if you can, to make your comments brief. We'll try to do the same, and that way we can get in as many different people as possible. 333-9455, that's for Champaign Urbana callers. Toll free, 800-222-9455. So it would be a long-distance call. Use that number, will-talk@illinois.edu. That's the email. I already have had a couple emails that we can try to share. We have some people ready to go. Now, I don't know if there's anything right up front any of you guys want to say to start off.
The only thing I think we would say is that the response and the questions we've gotten from our listeners has been gratifying on one hand because they care very much about the WILL services. And it's been painful on the other hand because nobody has set out to cut any of the core services with enthusiasm. The state funding climate has been very frustrating for us for a couple of years. And looking forward into the upcoming fiscal year, there is no signs that either the state funding situation or the university funding situation are going to get any better. And so we are making what we hope are careful and thoughtful decisions that will preserve the strength of WILL for the long run. But we recognize that these are very, very difficult changes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, yeah, I'd agree. And as somebody who's been in charge on this station of programming for the last 12 years, and now in charge of local programming for, you know, the whole place, everything that goes on here in Campbell Hall, it's really tough. It's really tough because we have, and you've told us, we've been providing an excellent service in everything we do, and we haven't been doing anything that we didn't think was valuable. But the reality of the budget situation is what it is. And it's not like we're sitting there with a dartboard going, let's see what we're going to cut in response to it, and we've been reacting and we've been trying to be proactive behind the scenes for many years. This is perhaps a point that we've reached now with what happened on Thursday, where it's become more visible to the public, and so we're trying to react to it, and we really do, in addition to the comments and the expressing a sense of loss, we really do want to seek input into, you know, what do you expect from us? What services should we be providing? And we'd like to have your input into where we go moving forward here, because we have some very tough decisions that we have been making over the past year to deal with this, and we want to open it up to and hear from you.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones. Start with line number one in Champaign. Hello.
Hello. This is public broadcasting, and it seems to me that staff and programming cuts should be a public decision. I suggest that you send out a list of programs and the cost of the programs and collect membership votes. I don't think that looking at who sends in extra money for particular programming tells you much, because I'm sure you have a number of large donors who don't participate in that sort of thing. My other point is I don't know why you're not doing furloughs rather than cuts. this thing has been very abrupt, and I don't think that cuts are appropriate until you collect more public input. Thanks.
All right. Well, actually, we are doing furloughs along with the rest of the university with the employees who are eligible for furloughs. So we are participating in that way. As far as involving the public in the decision making, there are a couple of factors, but probably the hardest one is the fact that there are issues related to personnel confidentiality that prevent us from putting people in jeopardy as we have a public referendum on whether they should stay employed or not. That's a it's not legal. It would be inhumane. And it would really violate, I think, the personal information to do that. At the same time, I think we have done a lot of things leading up to this decision internally to gain input from some of the public. In particular, we have a community advisory committee, which is a group that meets quarterly as a full body and meets in subcommittees throughout the year, who are representatives of our listenership, our viewership, and our membership from throughout our region. And it's a very active group of about 20 people. And we have involved them since last September in, first of all, understanding our budget situation and then giving us feedback on some of the options and choices facing us. So so we have had many dialogues around this with groups of people. As far as putting our national programs up on the website with program costs, maybe that's something we can do, but that's only a portion of the financial picture. The employment portion, we obviously cannot do it in that way.
Yeah, and I think that it's important to note that we don't really directly track how many pledges a show gets. It's a tool that we use, but it's not an exact science anyway, so we don't put all of the weight on that because, you know, just because somebody doesn't call in during Focus 580 or the Afternoon Magazine or something like that and or specifically mention that program in their comments, you know, maybe it's more convenient for them to call in during Morning Edition. Well, we know that. We don't directly track that kind of thing. So.
Okay. Well, we'll go on here. Next caller is line number two, and I believe this will be in someone in Champaign. Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
So pleased that you're doing this program. I do agree with the previous caller, not on whether somebody should be kept employed or not, but in terms of finding out how much these programs cost. And then helping the public to give some input. And so my question right now is, how much does it cost for the weekend FM programming besides things like Prairie Home Companion? From just my rough calculation, it seems to me that we have 30-plus hours on the weekend for FM for all roots music, blues and jazz and musical theater and popular music and things of that sort. So I'm very curious as to what those 30-plus hours cost, and I would like to have those figures if you have them with you.
Okay. Well.
The FM shows on the weekend, there's a couple different costs. There's a cost of the program fee, and there's also the cost of staff time to prepare some of those national programs, sort of post-produce them. So as we're losing staff, that's a consideration as well. And we're also, because we're adding news magazines to the FM, we're losing some classical time during the week. So that was part of the decision. All three of those weighed into our decision to...
I understand that, but people who listen to classical music are also very devoted listeners to jazz and blues mm-hmm. and folk and musical theater. And I would like to remind you that the classical music that you have is already... Most of it does not get generated by the people here. So I'd like to know what – don't give me necessarily the cost of the people who have to do it, but just what you have to pay for this programming on the weekend.
It's probably around $15,000.
$15,000. Okay. And Terry, and so that's for about 30 hours of programming, 30-plus hours of programming. And Terry Gross by itself costs $20,000 for 5 hours, as opposed to all of the Roots music, which is only $15,000 for 30-plus hours. It seems to me that that is a no-brainer. I like Terry Gross as well. However, I don't like it enough. I'd rather have the 30-plus hours of general programming. And we've already got a lot of canned classical music on the air, you know, enough. So I'd like to know your response to that. Has anybody thought of dropping Terry Gross?
Mm-hmm. And I did that 5 years ago.
Yes, and you should have kept it dropped.
And that's a valid opinion, and I appreciate your
But I would much rather have the 30-plus hours of weekend programming. That's a lot of programming for $15,000. Yeah. That is a lot of hours on the air, and I think you will find that your classical listeners enjoy that as well. And also, I would like to add that those are programs that students usually plug into as well, and younger people. And if you're looking to expand your base of membership, I think that getting rid of the weekend programs is a very poor thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make some really good comments, and those are exactly along the lines of when Jake Schumacher, the program director of the FM, and I, when I was station manager, were talking about a number of years ago as it was being developed. That hasn't all turned out to be the case, though, as we've seen from the trends in donations and membership and also listenership reports. So it hasn't all, and you know, we've given some of it quite a bit of time. You are correct, though, that the core audience for classical music does appreciate some of the diversity in music. Can't dispute that.
Well, I need to jump in. I hope the caller will forgive me. I'm sure she would probably like to continue. The lines are full, and I want to get, again, as many other different people as possible. Any other thing? All right. We'll go on. Let's go next. Someone over in Indiana. Line 4, the toll-free line. Hello.
Hello. It's unfortunate this is happening, and then I'm outside in Indiana. It hasn't hit the IU as far as I know yet, but I know it's coming. Two things. I listen pretty much to what I'm listening to right now, mostly the discussion grouping, I'll call it, with after David's program into the afternoon. I basically listen to you whenever the sun controls the frequencies. So early in the morning, I turn you on, and you skip around, eventually you come in strong, and then late at night, you go away. I contribute as much as I can at times to the coffers. And I was wondering if you've gone the route of trying to find some sort of consortium to have a certain amount of money at all times, so whenever these crazy things happen, you're not hit so quickly and have to make decisions so fast, and you disrupt other people's ideas of how you should run your actual radio station. And all I can say now is good luck, and I don't have $1 million I could give you, but I sure now would if I had it.
Well, thanks.
Thanks.
That's appreciated. I don't know how much you want to talk about what the funding situation is or why we're at this point. It's my perception that mostly the issue here has to do with the financial condition of the state and how that's played out now actually over several years. That it's probably the big issue more than the federal money, more than listener contributions, more than anything. It has been erosion of state. Really, it's been erosion of state support for the University of Illinois, which then trickles down to us. That's been the big issue for us. Is that right?
That is correct, David. The across public broadcasting across the country, we have watched the financial situation of a lot of stations become very precarious over the last 3 years. At least two stations in our own state, in Illinois, have teetered on insolvency, on bankruptcy over the last 2 years. We've watched a station in Flint, Michigan fold. And other station in Santa Monica has dropped its PBS affiliation. That's in the case of television. It's happening in public radio also. In our case in Illinois and in most of these other states, it has been the loss of state funding that has been at the root of the problem. We have been fortunate or unfortunate in our state in that our state support has been relatively modest. Back in the peak year for state funding for WILL, which was fiscal year 2001, we were receiving about $518,000 in annual support. Not a huge amount, but an important amount. Since that time, in our current fiscal year, that has dropped all the way to $230,000. So we have had a reduction of neighborhood of $300,000. Actually, that drop occurred since fiscal year 2006. In states where they are more reliant on state funding, have had bigger amounts, like Pennsylvania, the cuts that they are experiencing in Pennsylvania have been devastating. They are truly, you know, forcing stations to lay off mass amounts, cut massive services. Idaho right now is facing the possibility of a complete elimination of its state funding. We don't have that prospect here, but we cannot ignore the trend that at this point the state's financial position we don't think will be better next year. We don't think that our $230,000 is safe going into the next fiscal year. It could very well be eliminated. And on top of that, the University of Illinois is going through some very, very deep budgetary reviews, and we will be reviewed. And as of, you know, last Friday, we were told that although we have been largely held harmless in cuts, that at this point we have to prepare for a 5% cut in the upcoming year. Whether it stays at 5%, we don't know. But in terms of, again, our planning, that's another piece we have to factor in. On the plus side, our membership support has been fantastic. You know, we have a very, very loyal, supportive base of members. And so any change we make in programming, we want to make extremely cautiously because we don't want to alienate the people who have kept this station strong. But the period where we could absorb these cuts in funding without any visible change are over. And I just would like to make the point that, you know, that we're talking about 9 positions here, and two of them are largely on air, and the other 7 are behind the scenes. And every one of those people is a valuable, valuable contributor to WILL. And none of those cuts are being made cavalierly or casually. They're extremely painful to make.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to one of the earlier calls about all the FM programs on the weekend, the position responsible for choosing those, for arranging the contracts. That's one of the positions that won't be here. And so we're having to make some moves in reaction to people that won't be here. Our ability to do a lot of the technical work, well, somebody in the operations department won't be here either. So, it is the behind the scenes. There are the two public figures, very public figures, that we get a lot of comment about, but there are 7 others.
And we remain a very active local station. We are the envy of many of our peers, and we are looking to preserve as much as we can and to prevent having to go into next year and make another round of cuts. That is absolutely demoralizing to a staff and to a station. We are hoping and planning for this to be the bottom that we will then be building upward from.
Yeah. All right. We have several callers. We will continue here. Our guests are Mark Leonard. He's our general manager for Illinois Public Media. Kate Dobrovolny, she's the station manager for WILL. Jay Pierce is director of created content for Illinois Public Media. And we're looking for your questions, your comments about the future of public media and the future of WILL. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. We'll talk next with someone in Iroquois County. Line number 1. Hello.
Yes, I have several comments and questions. Number 1, you said you were cutting 9 positions, but the Gazette said you were also adding 3, including a web developer. And I would like to know what those other 2 positions are. And 2, what percentage of contributors or friends of WILL come through web as opposed to locally? And 3, wasn't it possible to scale back your weather to what it was like 7 or 8 years ago, maybe take it off TV, and, you know, go backwards and still have a core thing? And because it also said in the Gazette that, you know, only $40,000 was generated from business, so to speak, for weather. Well, I would think every friend was involved with weather, and not to disparage the young lady that's the newest meteorological expert from Central Illinois, but she obviously got her degree online, and she still just gives what all the others do what the NWS puts out, and you don't get any critical analysis of it. And so I think that you're making a and to bring back Terry Gross, why I like Terry Gross too, I could very well do without Terry Gross and Click and Clack, which I also enjoy very much, which are very high-priced programming. I'd even listen to an hour of music on AM to have preserved some of these things. And I think that especially for something that is such has such a broad-based appeal that there are it maybe should have been made a little more upfront to people in general.
Mm-hmm. Let me make a point about the national programming. If we canceled, and this was based on FY09, which is a complete fiscal year, and it was the last year. Kate's responsible for this now, but I was responsible, you know, for the past decade coming up to this. If we canceled every nationally acquired program, every program we pay NPR, Public Radio International, American Public Media, or any other source for, if we canceled all of them except for Morning Edition and All Things Considered, we would have saved a little over $90,000. Not enough to make up the difference here. That would be all. That would be everything. We would have Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and that's it. And we'd have to come up with all of the other programming, or you know, get free programming, or something somewhere. So I, you know, that's honest. Those are statistics that are not refutable.
As far as the positions being added, you commented on the web developer position. Yes, that is something that. We are adding overdue for us in terms of the patterns of media usage and our ability to respond to that. We're adding a Morning Edition host and special projects producer. The Morning Edition position has been filled on temporary bases since Dan Simeone retired. Jay Pierce filled in for a period of time. Tom Rogers is doing that now. But frankly, those are really short-term solutions because Tom Rogers is also our news director. Our news department is not highly staffed. They're working extremely hard to provide the award-winning news coverage that WILL produces, and we need him to be more involved to keep our news operation vital. So that's a postponement. The third position is a membership support position, and that is a position that is truly a result of our reorganization that we started last spring. We did some internal promotions and internal reassignments, and that had left a vacancy that still remains to be filled. Without that, I don't think we will be able to provide anywhere near the membership support that our members have come to expect from us. Three critical positions, we would not be adding them if we didn't think they were essential to our future. The web developer position reflects the fact that web usage of WILL Media is the one tremendous growth area that we have. We have an international audience. Some of our programs, many of our programs, have a larger listening audience online than they do over the air. It's the only area where we're seeing both membership support and business support increasing rapidly. Does it equal our on-air contributions? No. But I think that as we look forward to, again, the changing usage patterns, it's going to become an increasingly important part of both the service and the support of Illinois Public Media, WILL.
And I think somebody had asked how many contributions come in online compared to on-air, and I think we're at 25% now, aren't we? Isn't that what we've been seeing? Somewhere between 15 and 25%. Yeah, because I remember a year or two ago when it was down around 10%, and we were remarking on the growth and in the number of contributions online and from where they're coming from too. So, and we've seen in the agriculture department in the online significant growth. As a matter of fact, the agriculture department's online services where we're actually getting a significant return in underwriting and support. We're getting some numbers here. This is the online?
This is web.
Mm-hmm. So web is 14.4% of our new members pledged online, 45% of renewals, and 13% rejoining and 26% additional. So it is significant.
And,
yeah.
And the fact that those are 14% new members, that new means members. That we're probably reaching audiences that we did not reach before, expanding the support base and the use base for WILL.
Okay. Right. I have some other callers, and I don't know if we have completely got at the questions of the caller. I want to see, maybe we could take just a second, because I also had two emails that came in. And they have questions about the weather.
And we're always available after the
that's
program.
That's true, too. So, again, when we're done here, people want to send emails. They want to call, whatever. I know these guys will do their best to try to respond to the questions. Anything real quick more you want to say about
Facebook, too.
Weather?
That's a great place to talk with us. The weather department, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you want to know? It's a fiscal reality that we had to make. It's disappointing. It's hard for us, too. We obviously would not have been providing this service to the extent that we have been. We're extremely proud of it, and it hurts. But
would it have made, if we did what the caller would suggest, we'd say, okay, we're not going to do weather on television anymore. Maybe we'd say we'd cut this staff by 50%. So, you know, we'd say, okay, we'll only have one full-time weather guy. We'll concentrate maybe on the mornings. And, you know, would that have – what difference would that have made?
It would make some difference. It would make some difference. But we still – there were seven other positions here. And there are other things that we're doubling up on as well. And it just it's just a matter sometimes you know, that you reach a point where you have to do something that's going to save the money. And this is, unfortunately, and it's hard. A lot of it has to do with the state funding at this point that we were just not prepared to lose in this amount. Nobody really predicted that. But we're having to deal with it. It's a responsive thing. And I don't know. To me and to a lot of people, it's maybe the first tangible thing that's really touching them out of all of this talk we've had about the state budget mess.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, Mark made a point about our budget situation going back a number of years, and we've been really struggling with budget now for 9 years, ever since 2001. Mm-hmm. And we have talked about that on the air. But we also have tried, when we did make cuts, we tried to do that in ways that listeners and viewers would not notice. Do you think that was a mistake?
Should we have made cuts that would have impacted
that,
the listeners?
Should we have made a stronger point?
Stronger.
Yes.
More clearly.
I think I've been giving a lot of thought to this, obviously. I think one of the unfortunate things about public broadcasting is that we go on the air very regularly making our case to the public, and we know that sometimes it sounds like a harangue. It sounds relentless. We are always saying it's a critical issue. The membership support is a critical issue. So you can't shout any louder sometimes when the news gets worse. The truth is public broadcasting has – it isn't that these are not real threats. You know, we look back to the period where Newt Gingrich was talking about zeroing mm-hmm. out the federal funding. We are annually under assault, and we work with our state and federal elected officials to demonstrate the value of public broadcasting over and over again. And we turn to our listeners and our viewers and our supporters, and we say, you know, your support is what keeps your station stable, and your calls and letters are what help to tell your elected officials that we are important. I think that sometimes the fact that we go on the air several times a year on radio and television makes it difficult to cut through and say, no, this is different. And that is what we're experiencing right now. The threat to us and the threat to the concept of public broadcasting is deeper and more widespread than probably I have ever seen in my 20-some years working in public broadcasting. I've worked in public broadcasting almost exclusively my whole adult life. I love it. There's something that's really important about preserving this service, not just WILO, but the whole concept of public broadcasting and public media. And when I look around in this station, I think virtually everybody in this station feels the same way. We are passionate about the value of what we provide, and we do not want to put it at risk.
All right. Let's do some other callers here. Let us continue, and we'll go next to someone in Champaign, line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling in. I want to know if possibly you would consider revisiting your decision about the weather coverage that you give. I'm calling from Champaign. I live in Urbana. I can think of I'm going to speak about Ed Kieser and how invaluable he is. We live in a tornado alley, and I can remember 10 years ago driving home, and I think knowing that my house would be hit soon, that his coverage was invaluable. And I think that it is a public service that you need to be able to provide in some measure, especially in critical circumstances where public safety is involved. Yes, of course, we can all go to Yahoo Weather or whatever it is. But there is another, this is a local thing that I think is invaluable to not only residents, but often to people in agriculture. The second thing I wanted to comment on is that you mentioned that your budgets have been cut and where this is coming home, the mess that the state of Illinois is in. This state is a disaster, and it's very true that the cuts I think that you're making reflect that. I do not envy anyone who is being considered for the presidency of the University of Illinois because they have a real difficult road to hoe ahead. I am also would like to just ask, are we just talking about cuts in radio or are we talking about cuts in TV?
You know, TV too.
Cuts have been going on in television, and they will in this round also. We're losing 1.5 TV producer positions, which drops us to zero. We will have no staff producers, and that's not good. That's not something desirable long term. Now, I think in terms of severe weather coverage, Jay can probably describe a little bit more specifically. We are not going to abandon severe weather reporting.
That's right.
You can describe what that will look like.
Well, the severe weather reporting, you know, obviously the way that we do weather is going to change. We'll still be giving weather forecasts. Will they be locally developed as they have been by Ed and with his expertise? No, they won't. But we'll still be giving weather. We still have resources from the National Weather Service. We have online resources. We have others. You don't need to go to yahoo.com. You will turn on AM 580 and you will hear the weather. It will be there. I have done severe weather coverage for 35 years in my career, and I've been here many a night tracking tornadoes and severe thunderstorms. And I will continue to do that, as will other members of our staff, including David Inge and Celeste Quinn and others, Tom Rogers, Jeff Bosser, Jim Meadows, who are all on what we call the severe weather rotation list. And we're the ones who have been called in. And prior to TV weather, we did all of the severe weather coverage. And we will continue to do that. The only change that we've had recently since we've done TV weather, and there was somebody from the weather department here at night, they've taken the nighttime. But we will go back to that and continue to provide that service. Is it going to be the same without, as you mentioned, Ed and Mike? No, it's not. But we'll still be here doing it. And that's, you know.
What I would say is that I think Ed is an icon, and I think you're going to hurt yourselves by cutting him.
Yes. I agree with you. I agree with you.
We share that loss. Yeah. We share that sense of loss.
I'm going to let you go on to someone else.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
We'll continue next and talk with someone in Bloomington, Illinois, line two. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm going to echo some of the things that some of the other people have talked about. The whole loss of the weather department is just absolutely devastating to central Illinois. I understand that you can read the announcements that come out from the National Weather Service. I have a radio that alerts me when things happen. But what we're going to miss, and I know you know this, are the insights. I don't know how many times I've heard Ed and Mike talk about, well, you know, the models say this and this and this, but from our experience, they're wrong because of X. Mm-hmm. And the educational component about learning about the weather and understanding it and what those forecasts means is a real public service that WILL has been involved in. And that's truly going to be a huge loss for our community. I have a couple of other questions, and they involve the idea of fundraising. I mean, it sounds like this had come as a shock, but it comes as a shock to a longtime supporter, too, because I didn't get the impression that things were this bad, you know, that I got the impression that, you know, you were meeting your goals along the way. And I wonder if, knowing what we know now about the state of affairs, why can't we do a targeted drive? Obviously, weather is hugely important to folks, and perhaps community would step forward with a targeted drive
for that particular area.
Let me answer that one first, Jay. Maybe you can jump in after. There's a couple of factors. One is that a targeted drive, this is not a one-time financial shortfall. If it was, then absolutely a targeted drive would be appropriate. This is a recurring annual cost, and unless we can raise the base of support by X amount in a recurring way, year after year, then we're just pushing forward the problem. Because of the employment rights of many of the University of employees, we are obligated to give a one-year notification, which means that the actual savings from any job cuts don't occur until a year from now. We are having to forecast what we think our budget situation will be like in this coming year. And by all indications, we are going to see increased cuts in the coming fiscal year. We are we're not making it this year, but we're close. And we'll get enough savings that we will have a balanced budget this year. If anything approaching what is being forecast occurs for next year, we have to make these deep cuts in order to get the savings so we don't go into a severe deficit in the upcoming fiscal year. If we are wrong, if the State Arts Council funding remains secure and the university doesn't cut us, then perhaps we will revisit some of these situations. But at this point, the time to postpone this decision has passed. We have to take cuts to make sure we don't have an accumulating deficit going into the next year. That was what has put other public stations in peril, is that they get into a situation of operating deficits and debt. And that's a debt spiral for them, and it's very difficult to dig back out. So, no, we are not going to do that because this institution will remain strong.
Right, and we haven't been making our fundraising goals. We missed at the end-of-the-year goal by tens of thousands of dollars. We didn't make our goal in the fall pledge drive. We went over our goal in our recent January drive, but it was a very small drive. We went over by $5,000, maybe. Even with the membership dollar increase between, and you can read this in our annual report, which is online, between fiscal years 2008 and 2009, our membership income was up $74,000. But when you're looking at revenue losses in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, it doesn't offset it. It just doesn't. It hasn't. And we've said that. We've let you know, and we've set goals for pledge drives, and then we've fallen short, and then we've come back, you know, in successive ones and at the end of the year. But, you know, the end of last fiscal year, we fell short of our goal.
It's increased, but not fast enough to offset the state cuts.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the.
And what you've said this before, but I think it's probably a good thing for listeners to know that for a station our size, in our on-air fundraising, we do very well.
Well, that's right.
We do. It is our sort of feeling, given what we know about public broadcasting fundraising, that the ability to do much more than that is limited.
It is, and in fact, we not only do better with our fundraising, we produce more local content than most of our peer stations. We are a very, very active content producer. Heavily on radio. We have had to curtail largely on television during this period because television content creation is much more expensive. Right. And that's part of why we reorganized, and Jay's title now is Director of Created Content, is it's his job to seek new sources of funding for content creation. We believe that this is very much our future, but we can no longer fund it entirely out of our operating budgets. We cannot do it with member dollars. We cannot do it with the State Arts Council dollars. So that means bringing new partners in. And in fact, we've had a lot of very exciting conversations over the last couple of months where we think that over time we can begin to grow our content creation base. Mm-hmm. But it just can't happen in this current climate.
Okay. We have about 15 minutes left. Again, I hope the caller will not mind if I go and try to get in some other comments. And for that, we will go to Chicago. Line four. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that Dan Simeone had retired, so that's news to me. I don't agree with some of the callers that say you should drop Terry Gross. I think when you did that the last time, you got quite a few calls saying, why did you let her go?
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem you fellows are facing and the problem we're all facing, certainly up here in Chicago, we know all about cuts. You can see it when you wait for a bus and it's ice cold outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've had problems up here like that. But I think the problem is that you're having is when you have to make these cuts, someone is going to be displeased. Someone is going to say, why did you take this program off or that program off? But it has to be done, and, of course, that's why they give you the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the vote of confidence. Yeah, it is a tough job. And, you know, as much as I can go over statistics, and I think it is important to have the proper, the correct information out there, I understand completely that there is an emotional side to it, that there is that it's more than just dollars and cents. And believe me, we know that. We have important talk shows that we do, David's show included, here on the radio station, that that we are trying to support and to keep the dialogue and conversation going. The news department, there's a lot that goes on here at WILL. It's a huge service. Weather is one component of it.
Yeah,
it's been a very valuable component. But, you know, dollars and cents right now say we can't keep everything.
Is he still going to be on Friday morning, you know, doing the 7:50 show?
The talk to?
Yeah.
I think at least for a while.
For the time being, April 1st is the target date of when changes will be made.
Oh, so after that, you might not necessarily hear him on Friday. I would imagine it's hard to say to someone, we have to let you go because of budget cuts.
It's tough. It's not a performance issue on anybody's part.
Yeah, that's a difficult decision. Like I said, every state in the union seems to be having these problems.
Yes.
And
you're right.
It's just one of those things I guess we're going to have to face till the times get better.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think. Oh, by the way, does Denise Perry still work there?
Yes, she does.
Yeah, I know she used to be on All Day Sunday. She's my favorite announcer.
She's got a big job behind the scenes now.
It's not Sunday without hearing Denise.
we'll tell her.
And Sunday morning, you know, her and Leanne Hansen and Will Short and all that. That's what Sunday's all about.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, we'll let her know that.
She's my favorite one. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll tell her. She would be very pleased. Yeah. Again, let's go to somebody else. We've got to go to line number one here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah. I'm calling because I think that you're taking unnecessary hits on this thing. I remember being at the university in the early 1980s when similar rounds of cuts happened. And when you have a little bit of fat around the system, you can cut that down and not feel as bad. However, I know that you have been underfunded for years and years and years, and as a result, there's nothing left, and you have to do the big thing. And I think the weather department was a big thing, relatively speaking, and has to go. I mean, you can't have a bad one by having one person working 24 hours a day. That's not going to work.
We're almost
so
at that point.
I admire, you know, that you took the big step and did that. Also, if people are really interested in salaries and things, there's a thing called the Gray Book that's available in the reference room of the University of Illinois Library, and if they look under WLL, they will be stunned by how poorly you pay your people. You know, public television and radio, I think, have to be a mission for some people, and they are working for not very much money and doing a wonderful job. So I admire you all for doing everything that you have to do and accepting the cuts, and that's the way it is. I'll just keep writing my checks, but, you know, it is what it is.
Thank you very much for your comments. I think, as Mark was saying, we do a lot of local production and local content and also talking with the community and working with community partners, and we want to be able to continue that part as well. And actually, we're hoping to get your comments on that on our Facebook page, and also you can always email us or give us a call on that as well.
Should we go on? Take another call? Let's go to line number three for another caller right here. Hello.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job, okay? And I think you're doing a heck of a job under the situation here. But I kind of agree with some of the other callers where, you know, I don't want to say the ladies before me was extreme, but, you know, there's 12 pieces of pie out there and there's 14 people out there that want it. What are you going to do? You know, that's what it comes down to. I supported you guys for a couple of years. I've donated money, but I got to tell you, honestly, I think the average Joe like myself, when I lost my job, I have no more money to spend. I got to worry about taking care of my family first and then you guys second. And that's, you know, here, there, and there. But I think you guys put on an excellent program for what you got. And it's going to be like this for a couple of years, and everybody's got to get used to that fact. Somebody's going to lose a job somewhere. I mean, everybody else, all the rest of us are doing it. I just I think it's kind of blown out of proportion. I think we'll all come out of the hole, but it'll be 4, 5, 6 years down the road. And, you know, I'm kind of interested in your comments about that because I know it's a constraint now. It's just that the last 15 or 20 years, everybody's grown. Now that we've gotten this bubble has popped, we got to do something. We can't keep going on the route we're. So thanks, guys. I'll always support you guys and keep up the good work.
Oh, we appreciate
thank
it.
You much. Thank you much.
I think you make a good point. It is going to be several years of this, and I think that that's a cold reality to face.
Well, I think, though, it's also true, and I think I know this from having talked a little bit with some of the university administration, and Mark probably has too. I think that there are people who are expecting across this university there's going to be significant downsizing over the next few years. The administration is talking about shrinking the size of the administration, and we're now encouraging people to take early retirement. And I think that we should expect that. We were talking about this a little bit the other day, that there'll be programs will be consolidated, things will be moved around. There might be things that we're doing. You know, the interim president, Stan Eikenberry, said that to me. You know, there are things we're doing today that a couple of years from now, and he's speaking of the university, he said, we're not going to be doing anymore. So this, you know, hang on because this kind of – we're going to be seeing a lot of this. Mm-hmm.
And our greatest strength with the university in terms of going through these budget decisions has been the fact that throughout its history, WILL has lived within its means. We have not accumulated a deficit, and that has given us credibility and strength during these periods of review. And we will be reviewed along with all of the other programs on the university campus. And as long as we are able to demonstrate that we are responsible stewards, not adding to the fiscal problem, we will be in a better position.
Let's go to line two for someone else here. Hello. Caller there on line number two?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. Yes. Go ahead.
I understand that hard decisions have to be made. I just respectfully believe that cutting the weather department is the wrong decision from a marketing standpoint. And I've been listening to WILL all the way back to when Jim Turpin was broadcasting football and basketball games. So I know that programming changes are made. But as an example of the fact that you had a unique service, let me give you the weather forecast that was repeated yesterday morning. It was 20% chance of snow today, 50% chance of snow tonight, and 40% chance of snow on Monday. That weather forecast simply did not give me the information that I would get previously when they would have said, Ed Kieser's forecast is a chance of snow today, maybe 1 or 2 inches of snow tonight, and a little flurries on Monday. Now, that told me if I needed to get my snow shovel out or not. So by going to the weather service, you're cutting away the one unique feature that leads people to your station. Mm-hmm. And if you, I think you need to find a way to preserve the unique features and focus on those and find the cut somewhere mm-hmm. else. Thank you.
And I don't want to get into an argument, but yesterday on my cell phone, I got a message from the National Weather Service that told me that there would be 1 to 3 inches of snow here, 3 to 6 inches of snow farther south in Illinois, and tapering off to flurries today. So I had that information. How can we get that information on the air better? Well, that's going to be a challenge for us. And I did the weather in the noon hour. I'm not comparing myself to Ed Kieser, please, but I'm saying that the information is out there, and at some point I gave that information in the forecast at 12:35 on Friday. We'll do a job of trying to deal with this. It's not going to be easy for us. We'll do the best job we can, but I'm saying that there's a variety of information out there, and I'm not saying we're going to replace Ed Kieser and his personal abilities and knowledge. We're not. I mean, that's a fact. I can't refute that. But we can do a better job of the weather, and that information is available, some of it, and that particularly yesterday. Yeah, I had it on my cell phone yesterday morning at 11.
Okay. About 3-4 minutes here. We can continue and talk to somebody else here. Line number 4 is next, the toll-free line. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm sure you recognize my voice. I've been listening to Mr. Inge forever and your show forever. And, Mr. Pierce, I've spoken to you more than once about this topic,
mm-hmm.
Both personally and on air. I'm able to give some monies, but I'm much more capable of giving things in kind. I have abilities that would help your station in many ways, but I just can't get you guys to accept it. I've spoke to you many times, and my efforts might save you money in a different way. That's one suggestion. Suggestion number 2, because I do want to keep this short. I noticed that there are other competing stations nearby, WBAA. There's various stations around. At the same time that you're showing, airing one program, they're airing the same program. Why don't you guys get together and say, we'll air this one, and we'll air that one. You can air that one. And share the effort. Everybody cuts down on the expenses, and still the people get to hear what they want. You just say, maybe you ought to go listen to WBAA if you want to hear this right now, or maybe we all want to listen to the WILL right now, and save yourself some cost. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Keep
thank
up the
you.
Good work.
Thank you. I don't know.
Well, out of that, some of the NPR programming comes down at the same time on all the stations we carry. And WBAA can't be heard here in Champaign-Urbana, you know, in the early morning and late in the afternoon, just like we can't be heard over there. They have an AM station that does news and talk. We overlap some area, but not all. And
this particular caller, I know, was calling from Danville.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and
there
you
would get
us
both. Yeah. So you'd be sure.
And David, we really haven't mentioned, because nobody's specifically asked, if I've got maybe a minute here to explain it. The reason we are putting Morning Edition and All Things Considered on FM is that there's a whole large portion of our coverage area to the west that does not get any of that NPR programming, and that is two of the most popular programs in all of public radio. Mm-hmm. And for them, they have been clamoring for years for us to address that situation. And so there will be also other people who now will be listening to WILL who have not been members and supporters and will be very grateful of the fact that they now can tune in those programs. So we're also looking out for their interests, and we've been getting calls and letters and comments for years about that.
And frankly, that's an example of something proactive we're trying to do. We're very high in the metrics as far as it goes in audience on our AM news service and fundraising. There's not a lot of room to grow. We can grow local income by growing listenership, putting those programs on our FM station. Putting them out there to audiences is something that we believe, and evidence has shown from the models in Columbus, Ohio, and Lansing, Michigan, it can help us.
Okay. So I'm told Celeste said I can take it till 12:01 to the NPR news. So maybe we have about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Shall we go and see
if
we can do at least one more caller?
Sure.
How about line number one? Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you have a private endowment fund, or are you able to set one up to insulate yourself from this kind of stuff?
We do have an endowment fund. It is modest at this point, but we have been working for several years to build it up, and we have stepped up our efforts in this area and for planned giving for people who can give bequests to WILL. It helps. It's not enough yet that we could call it a stabilizing force in terms of revenue, but that is our goal.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Good question.
Just a quick mention. Maybe
sure.
Get one more call. We do have a dialogue on Facebook, on the WILL site on Facebook. And we encourage you, if you would like to continue the conversation, because we very much do want you to be engaged and tell us what you do care about and what you think we should be building going forward. And although we can't share, you know, personnel decisions, I think that this does give us the chance for us to all sit back and talk about what is important and what you think we should be investing in the future. You can get to it through WILL's homepage, or you can go to Facebook and look up WILL AM FM online. And we would very much like to engage you in that continuation of this conversation.
Okay. Well, I think we probably have to wrap up for this right now. But again, as you say, we want to make sure that people know we want your comments. We want your questions. You guys will try to respond to everybody in as timely a fashion as you possibly can for as long as it takes, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks very much for being here this morning.